Welcome to the Revelation Church podcast. We are all about Jesus, knowing him and making him known. And we hope that this message will draw you closer to him.
Wait, this is part two of the sermon on healings and miracles. Part one was last week. So if you weren't here last week, it's online. You'll be able to find that. But we're going to dive straight into part two. I'm not expounding one passage. You're going to be jumping around different Bible passages to just give some principles the Bible gives us on healings and miracles. Then we've got some testimonies. We've got a testimony from someone at Rev, who's from someone in their family. We've got a testimony on WhatsApp. I'm going to play you down the mic from one of our old elders, Simon Tarry. We've got three short testimonies, about two minutes long each, from New Day that we've got lined up. Just to build faith after I've preached, and then we're going to pray for the sick. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, great. So why don't we start in Acts? If you've got a Bible with you, it won't come up on the screen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It's a wonderful, one of my favorite verses in terms of describing the life and ministry of Jesus. In the book of Acts, at this point, Jesus has ascended to heaven, but this is Peter preaching about Jesus. Acts chapter 10. And verse 38 describes, he's saying to them, you know all about him. And he says, how God, listen to this, even if you can't find it yet, don't worry, just listen to it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. What an amazing summary of a life. He went about, we all do that, don't we? We go around, don't we? But he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. It's an amazing thing. Go, wow. But this same Jesus is the one who said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Okay. It's the same Jesus who said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And one of those things was they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. It's the same Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 12, who said, the works that I have done, you will do greater works than these. And so what we see in the New Testament is a very clear, straightforward thing that we're not going to overanalyze. We're not going to throw away our minds, but we're not going to overanalyze and pick it to death. Jesus lived a life where he ministered healing in the most beautiful way. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Which means that it is on us as the church to learn about this, and which is what we're doing, particularly over these weeks, which is part of our Gifts of the Holy Spirit series. So last week we looked at a few do's and don'ts, and we're going to look at a few more do's and don'ts, and then we'll get into looking at some testimonies. So I looked at one don't is relying on techniques and formulas when you're praying for sick people, you know, trying to follow techniques. Jesus didn't do that. He ministered to people as people, listening to God. That's how we want to model our ministry of healing. He wasn't into sensationalism. When people were saying, show us a sign, he was saying, forget all of that. We're not going to get into that. This is about the mission of God to restore broken lives. Yeah, this isn't about blowing trumpets and making a big hurrah. We're not going to get into that. Amen. We looked at unbelief and faith. And I think something happened at that point in the sermon. And so I've written a short confession for us to read out together as a church at the end of my sermon about rejecting unbelief and embracing faith. Okay, we're going to put it up on the screen later. I'm going to give you a chance to read it through first so that you can hand on heart do it. No one's coercing you. And then those of you who think, yeah, definitely, we're going to read it out together, because something happened among us as I preached that point. Something landed in a different way. God was highlighting the issue of unbelief among us and saying, come on, we want to help you out of that. Amen. We're going to look at a few more do's and don'ts. So we're going to start with empire building versus kingdom building. Empire building is when you want to see sick people healed, so somehow your reputation grows, or your church's reputation grows, and look, aren't we great? That's empire building. We reject it. Amen. Yeah, but kingdom building we love. You see, the kingdom of God, we're told when the kingdom of God is fully realized, we are told that at that point there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Yeah, no more curse. And sickness and pain and affliction is all part of that. There'll be no more of that when the kingdom fully comes. And so we're not yet in that place of the kingdom fully coming until Jesus returns. But through Jesus' work on the cross, the kingdom has come. And so we should expect outbreaks of God's kingdom among us. We should expect that because Christ has won. So even though we're not in the fully realized kingdom when Jesus returns, if you read the Bible, it talks about a kingdom that starts like a little stone and ends up like a mountain that fills the whole earth. And I think the message there is really clear and really strong, is that we are talking about an ever-increasing kingdom. And one of the marks of the kingdom is healing and deliverance. So we should... What I'm not going to do is hype any of this up. I'm going to feed you with biblical truth so that genuine faith stirs. You go, hold on a minute. I believe this. Okay, that's very different from just getting hyped up with noise. So we're not interested in the empire, but we're interested in the kingdom. And part of the kingdom is healing and deliverance. It's part of it. It's a demonstration of the rule of Jesus Christ over the powers of darkness. That's a wonderful and a beautiful thing. If at any point you get excited, you can make a noise, okay? Just feel free. I'm not going to hype it up. But if you feel stirred in faith, here's the thing. There's a world away from someone going, come on, make some noise. Yeah, no. But if you want to go, yes, Lord, and you feel you can't, that's a problem. That's a problem of a different end. So I'm saying that. I'm saying if God just touches your heart, please just know the freedom to express faith and excitement about what God is doing. Next do and don't is non-compassion versus compassion. So if you go quickly to the Gospel of Mark, on some of these points we will dig into the scriptures, obviously to just demonstrate what I'm getting here. Mark chapter 3, it's a really interesting story. The beginning of Mark chapter 3 verse 1. Again, you haven't got to turn there. You can just write the reference down, look it up later. Okay. Again, that's Jesus, entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. Right? Wow. What compassionate guys. Well, look at their mindset. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? They were silent because they were ashamed at this point. And he looked around at them with anger. This is Jesus. He looked at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Oh, amazing. See, there was no compassion. These people looked at this man with this debilitating condition, and they were way more concerned about whether Jesus would do it on a Sabbath or not. Their heart was not moved by the person's condition. There was no compassion there at all. In the middle of the two most famous chapters on spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, guess the name of the chapter in the middle. What do you think it might be called? 1 Corinthians 13. We're mathematicians in this church. And it's called A More Excellent Way. And it's the way of what? Love. If you're using spiritual gifts but not in love, the Bible says you're like a clanging cymbal, it's noisy. But if your heart is moved by the plight of others, you know someone's in pain and it bothers you, that's the heart of God. Okay? That's compassion. You think, Lord. No. That's the heart of God. And so we're to be people of compassion, and that will set us up to do well in the ministry of healing. That should be the key driver for us. It was a driver of so many of Jesus' miracles. We're told, you know, he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows what he's going to do, but he's groaning and weeping. Think, why are you doing it? You know what you're going to do? He can see the grief around him. It's caused by death. Death is an enemy. And the thing about sort of sickness and disease, it's sort of a signpost, isn't it, to death. It's not part of God's created order. So there's that. Another do and a don't, we're talking about prayerlessness versus being serious about prayer. So if we go to Mark chapter 9, same gospel, verse 29, this is the story of the young boy that was oppressed. He was afflicted in a very harmful way by powers of darkness. His dad brings the boy to Jesus, and Jesus sets him free. But the disciples had been trying, they couldn't do it. And so in Mark 9, verse 29, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? Why couldn't we deal with the evil spirit that was afflicting him. They were frustrated, they were confused. Jesus says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. What he's saying is this. This boy's particular malady was caused by an evil spirit directly. Not all maladies are, but some are. Some are. And Jesus is saying, the particular evil spirit that was causing this problem, that doesn't go easily. It takes prayer beforehand. Intercession. Time given to prayer. If we are prayerless, then we can find ourselves very quickly caught out when we're trying to deal with things that are ruining people's lives. Because we're dealing with stuff that is bigger than us, but not bigger than Jesus, but bigger than us. And so our kind of fellowship and time with Jesus and our faith getting built up in Jesus, which comes through prayer and fellowship with him, puts us in a place where we're able to deal with stuff. If we are walking distantly from Jesus and you meet that stuff, you don't know what to do. you just feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And so prayer is really, really important. Certain things people are not going to be set free from if we are a prayerless people. So learning how to pray about these things is so important. And Jesus has shown us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. You haven't got to pray complicated things. We've just looked a minute ago that the kingdom, healing and deliverance are signs of the kingdom. So when we say your kingdom come, we're saying, Lord, we want to see more and more people set free in their lives. Amen? There's so much affliction out there. So much terrible affliction out there. So many broken lives. Some of them obviously so. Obviously so. But so many in our nation now, they just live with real hidden torment that no one knows about. Feel like they could go off the edge at any minute, either mentally or whatever, or living in terrible physical constraints. No one knows what to do. The doctors don't know what to do. Just, you know, more pills. You know, thank God. Don't please don't interpret what I'm saying. Thank God for medical help and the NHS. We're big fans. And so this talk of healing is never to undermine that. Because that's part of God's common grace. But there are actually quite a lot of cases where if the medics are honest, they say, we don't know what to do. We're just trying to stop it from getting too bad. We serve a miraculous God. A God who is compassionate and loves to heal. So to be praying is really important. Two more do's and don'ts, then we'll watch some testimonies. Unconfessed sin. Now, this is a bit controversial because can illness, sickness be caused by sin? Yes. I'm going to show you in the Bible why I'm saying yes. Is it always? No. Okay? It's really important you understand that. Because if you say it always is, and guess what? As soon as someone gets ill, everyone starts going, what have you been up to? You know, no. But it's not smart. Okay? But let me show you. Jesus healed a man, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 14, it's really interesting because you can make a caricature out of Jesus. See, there was the man born blind in John 9. And the disciples say, why is he blind? Was it his mum's parents' sin or did he sin? And Jesus said, it's nothing to do with that. It's for the glory of God. So you go, oh yeah, all that talk of sin and sickness, Jesus blasts it out of the water. Yeah, but go to John 5. Don't make a caricature out of Jesus. Read the whole Bible rather than pinning your things on one verse. John chapter 5 verse 14. Jesus has just healed someone who had been in a bad state for 38 years. And then it's verse 14, after Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. But it's clear, Jesus is saying, you mess around with sin, you're messing around with darkness. You mess around with darkness, you are basically, what in doing that, in willfully sinning, you are stepping outside of God's protection. You can't say, I'm a Christian, but because I'm sinning, but it doesn't matter, you know, I'm in Christ. That's called mocking God. The Bible says God can't be mocked. Now, we all stumble in many ways. Of course we do. We constantly, you know, we're confessing sins. But that's a different thing from actually willfully sinning and then hiding it and not confessing it. The Bible says walk in the light, which doesn't mean be perfect. It means confess your sins. Keep short accounts with God. Get right. Because if you do like hold on to ungodly anger or refuse to forgive or you make decisions that you know are ungodly, you are giving the enemy a foothold in your life. And sometimes the way that manifests is through spirits of affliction and infirmity. Okay? That's just Bible teaching. Okay, so you've got to be you've got to be smart. You can't. It's like there are some rules, and regardless of what you think about them, they still apply. Okay, because they operate on a higher level than your own preferences and opinions. It's like it's transcendent, so you have to honour it because it's real. It's a spiritual reality that is beyond whether you like it or not. Okay, so it's just a thing. And so in that sense, there's a humility where you go, this is real, man. I'm going to take this thing seriously. It's really, really important that we do that. So I hope you understand that. Please, some of you, you've got very tender consciences. You'll hear that and you'll immediately go, yeah, no, it's me, it's my fault. It's this. Okay, probably not. Probably not. Okay. So if you know that's you, if someone looks at you the wrong way, you feel guilty. If you know that's you, just give yourself a break. Okay, don't go there. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful counsellor, right? And if you've got a soft heart, he'll show you if there's something. And it won't be you digging around, getting in a state. He'll just gently point it out so you know specifically what it is, so you can get right with God and be all good, okay? So just don't hide from that. Allow the Lord to minister to your heart. Don't get hard-hearted. Just as I'm preaching now, just feel that perhaps for some of you, you've got a bit hard-hearted. That's rough, because when you get like that, it's really hard to hear the voice of God because you're doing that spiritually. So please repent of that so you can just be in that place again of just trusting the Lord. Please, let me urge you, please take these things seriously. We are dealing with stuff that is transcendent here. We're not dealing with earthly realities. These things are, they transcend culture. They operate and manifest in different ways in different cultures, but they are spiritual realities, biblical truth. Okay, so it's a final thing is this. I found this. I'm currently reading through Acts at the moment in my own sort of private Bible reading times, and I'm having a great time there. And I came across this verse. Isn't it great? I've been a Christian 32 years, and you're still, where's that verse been hiding for the last 32 years? I didn't know that was there. It's really well known, but I saw a connection here. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42, very, very well known. Says this, but we sometimes don't move on to the next verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, this is the early church, to breaking of bread and to prayers. So there was a devotion to life together as a church. Note that word. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done to the apostles. So it's like they're just devoted to the things of God. Very normal stuff. The apostles' teaching, listening to the word of God. Fellowship, being together. Breaking bread, communion. Praying together. They're devoted to it. It's not a casual affiliation. Yeah, I go sometimes. Go when I can make it. I get there if there's nothing else that's more important. It's a devotion to these things that are very normal things. But actually, what you find is they're laying a foundation for God to do glorious things. Or different image. They're preparing the ground for an amazing harvest. And so sometimes we can lose heart. We think it's all, you know, it's not dramatic. No, but there's something about being devoted to the church and to what we do that just lays the groundwork for God to do amazing things. And if our hearts get bitter about the church or distant or removed in some way, or something goes on and it's like a stone in the shoe and you can't really run anymore. And something's happened. It's maybe some offense, these things. Please address them in a godly and mature way, because it will hinder you being devoted. And then if you have a church and there's a numbers of people that are just kind of not, their heart is not there, these things are, we might not see them with our eyes, but what they do spiritually, it affects things. So I just want to urge us to be soft-hearted and be totally devoted to the things of God. One of the things that's really interesting, the video we're about to watch now, so if you could line them up, please, Rosie. These are from New Day. And my friend who's interviewing the people is called Adrian Holloway. He's the guy who prays for them. Let me just say he's a friend. I've known him over 2 decades. He's a trustworthy, normal person, okay? But he's interviewing people that have been prayed for and healed at New Day. He says he never wants to do the night of praying for the sick before the fourth night. He won't do it on the third night or the second night or the first night. You go, why not? Sounds a bit funny. He's like, because what happens is at New Day is that as people are there, they are devoting themselves to fellowship. They are devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're hearing the word of God. They are devoting themselves to breaking of bread and prayer. Okay, so because they're in that environment, something's happening in their heart. And it prepares the way for God to move. The unbelief is getting pushed to the margins. God is able to move. Hearts are getting softened. People's expectation is growing. And it impacts the moving of God. Because typically, for the most part, God will come where he's welcome. He can do whatever he likes. But for the most part, probably similar to us, he comes where he's welcome. Yeah? Imagine someone invites you to a party, but you know you're not really welcome. Are you going to go? You could do. Well, can. It's going to be great, isn't it? Hi! You have to be really thick-skinned to do that. Yeah? Right? It's not smart. God comes where he's welcome. And he sees hearts. So if we're doing that, he sees that. Okay, before we do the videos, if maybe Gemma you, or Johnny, which I don't know if you're going to share. Gemma, let's give Gemma a welcome. She's going to... She's just gonna share a great story that she shared with me this week. I thought, oh, this would be great for us all to hear. Over to you, Gemma.
Thank you. My sister-in-law was pregnant, and it was a high-risk pregnancy for a number of reasons. So she had a scan really early on at like 6 or 7 weeks, something like that. Excuse me. And... she went into the, her and her husband went into the scan room and, you know, there's that sort of silence, the sonographer's doing the thing. And it was really bad news. It was, they were told that the baby should have been a certain size for 6 or 7 weeks, but really had stopped growing at about 4 weeks. There was not at all a hint of a detectable heartbeat. It was just like nothing. And actually, there was this kind of fuzziness on the scan. And my brother-in-law is a doctor. And so he knew that that essentially meant that the baby had started decomposing within the womb. Like it just wasn't, the body had started breaking down. That's what that was. And it was just really bleak. There was, it was that they were told that was kind of conclusively what was going on. And he saw it for himself. Like I say, he was a doctor and could interpret that a bit. But the kind of procedure within the NHS is that when you have a scan like that, you have to wait a week before they can begin any sort of process to deal with what's going on inside you, just in case something's gone wrong. I mean, they were told it's conclusive, it's not, but we just have to wait for a week. And so they're believers. We went away. There were a huge number of people praying, just, seeking God for this baby, even though it was completely bleak, completely hopeless. And a week later, they went back to this second scan. And silence again. The sonographer's sort of looking, screens turned away from my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. And they're told... would you like to just have a look at the screen? And they said, no, we don't want to see it. We don't want to see. And the sonographer was like, I think you want to see. And she turned the screen around and there was our nephew. And he was wriggling and he was exactly the right size and the heart was beating and it was exactly as it should be. And he's now 4. And it's amazing. And praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. We want our faith to grow, don't we? So I think it's important that we do that. But obviously, all of us being aware, there'll be different testimonies and stories that you hear that could, there could be a pang, there could be a stuff where you go, questions. We're aware of that. But I just say, I just want to try and walk the journey well and sensitively, but in faithfully. You know, so please, I'm just saying I'm aware of that. I'm aware of the reality of that. But let's still, I would urge all of us to allow ourselves to, for our hearts to just be washed in these good news stories.
Morning, church. Steph asked me to send you a testimony of my healing, which I'm very pleased to be able to do. So I was healed from both gluten and dairy strong intolerance. it used to cause me an incredible lot of pain and inconvenience throughout the time I was at university. Every time I even touched a tiny bit of bread, I'd get really swollen stomach and really uncomfortable stomach cramps. And I remember times when I was even, you know, on a bus and I had such bad cramps, I had to get off the bus and just, you know, basically just roll on the floor. It was terrible. And I literally could not touch a crumb of bread or drink any dairy or eat anything. It really just messed with my body so much. And eating out, I mean, this was quite a few years ago, and it wasn't so easy in restaurants to eat out and ask for intolerances as it is now. And I happened to be at a conference in, I think it was Malaga, and we'd gone to a pizza restaurant, and I was having some gluten-free, dairy-free version, which in a pizza restaurant was basically a salad leaf or something. And a couple of the guys there asked, "Oh, Simon, why are you not drinking a beer and having a pizza?" And I said, "Oh, I can't, you know, da-da-da." And then the next day, I think it was, we were praying, and someone, you know, we were doing quick prayers about something else, and one of the guys who had been at the table said, "Oh, Simon, let's just pray for this eating thing." And he made the very shortest and non-specific prayer and just said, "Lord, heal Simon from all of these silly, you know, eating things, and let him just be able to eat whatever he wants. Amen." And you know, I didn't feel anything at the moment, but I just had faith for it, actually, for the prayer. Suddenly I got home and I had faith for it, and I said to my wife Natalie, I'm gonna order a pizza. And I did, and for the first time ever, it did nothing to my body. And God had completely healed me of gluten and dairy, which are both in pizzas. And to this day now, I continue to eat it and never having a reaction at all. So it was an incredible healing. It really made such a difference to my life. Praise God, it's gone. But it also just demonstrated sometimes the simplest of prayers said in faith and received in faith can, you know, God can do amazing things. So I hope that encourages you guys. God bless you. Bye-bye.
So we're going to just pray. We're going to just pray. I'm just going to lead us in prayer. If you've got something that needs healing, I'm just going to ask that where you are, that you just lay your hand on the part of your body that you just know needs healing, or if it's hard to do that in a specific way, just do whatever is relevant for you. And I'm simply going to pray a prayer of faith. Tell the condition to go, and then ask the Lord to just bring healing. And then, as with some of these testimonies, you know, nothing was actually felt and nothing seemed to happen in the moment sometimes, so it's absolutely fine. But if there are testimonies, there'll be opportunity for that. Sometimes you know you've been healed, sometimes what you've been praying for, you can't know until you order your pizza or whatever, you know. That's absolutely fine. So we're going to do that. And then after that, I would also just love to be able to pray for those, because it's a series on spiritual gifts. You know, Jesus said, all those who believe in me will do this. So it's something for us we can all do. But also, we really also want to use these moments to pray for those. Some of you here, you feel particularly stirred. You think, I just really would love. You know, when you see people that are poorly, something happens in you very deep. You want to? There's a heart and a grace on you to see people healed, restored, set free from afflictions and infirmities, and we really want to do our best to bless that and look to see you grow in that, so that you can do all the things that we've spoken about in the sermon. Does that make sense? I had this thing I wanted to do first about unbelief. I'd totally forgotten, and as I was praying, I remembered. What I would do is maybe if I just read this, it's just a short confession thing that I wrote, and I'll read it, and then we'll see it come up. And so I'm going to ask us, those of us who think, yeah, I want to do that, to read this out together as follows. Not now, but when it's up on the screen. As a member of Revelation Church, I reject the sin of unbelief. As Revelation Church, we reject the sin of unbelief. Unbelief robs the people of God, and we will not be robbed. We reject all bitterness of spirit, cynicism, and unholy fear regarding the word and works of God. Unbelief be gone from our midst, our mindset, our church family. We embrace our true inheritance as God's people, an inheritance that we receive through faith and patience. We declare the faithfulness of God over our lives. We will not hinder the work of God by our unbelief, but welcome the moving of the Holy Spirit among us. So it's just a kind of a statement of intent and a confession. And if it doesn't come up on the screen, then what I will do is I'll just read it. And then those of you who think, yeah, just you can just kind of repeat it after me. So it looks like there's something coming up on the screen, which is great. I just want you to just have a read this for about, 20 seconds. Then we'll read the next page. And then those of you who are like, yeah, then I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to read it together, okay? If you're a guest, you're visiting, you're observing, you're not sure where you're at with this stuff, please don't just stand, because otherwise you might feel the odd one out. It's cool, okay? But if you are like, yeah, then I want us to do this as an act of faith. So it's sincere and meaningful, okay? So if you don't stand up, no one's looking at you. It's not about that. It's okay.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about us and our vision of North Central London and beyond, visit our website, revelationchurch.org.uk. Or if you want to get in touch about something else, we'd love to hear from you. Just email hello@revelationchurch.org.uk.